T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right now, I'm really happy to have Zach Smith, who's a legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, join us, because speaking of Governor Northam and some of his decisions over the last several weeks, we are about to enter into a new phase where the governor has mandated that Virginians wear face coverings, masks, in buildings, public places, indoor public places going forward. And Zach, I still cannot find out exactly when this ends, what the data point is that we're looking for that would move the governor to repeal this order. And that troubles
sure.
me. I mean, okay, maybe you accept him saying that you should wear the mask because you're really deeply concerned that people would accidentally spread the virus and infect innocent people, but surely there's got to be some end date on this thing. Am I missing something, or have you seen that? Or?
Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me on the show this morning, John. I appreciate it. And so I think you bring up a couple of good points about the governor's order, specifically as it relates to wearing masks in public. You know, there are good things and bad things about the order. The good thing is, if the governor wants to do this, he's made clear that he's not going to seek criminal sanctions if somebody's not complying. Mm-hmm. And so that's good, because you don't want people getting arrested and thrown in jail because they're not wearing a face mask. Now, the downside to that is kind of the problem you're highlighting. There's a lot about the order that's unclear. And specifically, you know, the end date is not clear. The enforcement mechanism is also not clear. And so if somebody's not complying with the face mask requirement, or frankly, with other guidelines that have been issued, it's unclear what exactly the remedy is for that. Now, the governor said the Virginia Department of Health will take primary responsibility for enforcing this requirement. And so it's looking like that really the onus for enforcing this face mask requirement is going to fall on individual businesses as they begin to reopen.
Yeah, that's a tough spot for them to be in. I have seen anecdotal stories about businesses that have been fined, some pretty significant fines in other places. Some of them have said, to heck with this, we're closing the doors again. We can't afford to get hit with fines. And then you get the arbitrary nature in some cases, and maybe even targeted enforcement with some businesses. I mean, that seems like a real rough road to go down.
It is. And one of the problems that is going to potentially be faced by a lot of businesses is, you know, national corporations, chains, businesses, they're better equipped in a lot of ways to deal with these new requirements and regulations. It's the mom and pop shops. They're starting to reopen, you know, get back in business again, placing this additional layer, this additional responsibility on them to comply with, you know, new rules, regulations, really has the potential to place a new burden on them that could impact their viability going forward.
Yeah. When we talk philosophically about the law, does the chief executive of a state have the legal authority to issue this type of directive to individual citizens during a pandemic? I mean, is that clearly within his authority?
Look, broadly speaking, governors, chief executives typically have pretty broad authority during times of emergency. Mm-hmm. And so is this within his authority? Probably. But I think that goes back to a point that Bill Barr has been making. You know, look, as the pandemic drags on, as things, you know, continue to develop and get better, we have to make sure that the emergency measures that are put in place are really proportional to the harms that we're facing and the situation that's on the ground. And so what I appreciate about one of the things that Bill Barr's done is that he said that he and the Department of Justice at the federal level are going to be looking to make sure that citizens' rights are not unduly deprived or being restricted as, you know, things continue to evolve on the ground.
I mean, that's important. It also kind of sets the stage for, you know, if in this circumstance you're allowing businesses to make or to be the enforcer of the law or to restrict your behavior, if you're authorizing and saying a business owner has that right and responsibility, then, gosh, I think that opens the door for, you know, cases in the future where some leftists who don't like the idea that individual business owners have that authority can be challenged in a way that they may not care for in the future.
Well, and look, as a practical matter, because the enforcement mechanism for this particular order is unclear, as a practical matter, what could likely happen is at the end of the day is if a dispute comes up between a business owner and an individual about whether they should be wearing a face mask, whether, you know, they're adhering to proper social distancing guidelines, you know, that will likely still become a law enforcement matter, because if a dispute comes up, who has to respond? It's the police. And so I think the governor would benefit everyone if he would more clearly define exactly how this mask requirement is going to be enforced and what the potential, you know, penalties are for everyone involved if they don't follow this guidance.
Zach, before we go, I've seen some posts on Facebook from individuals who I don't think are attorneys, but they're trying to make a point about HIPAA laws. And saying, if I go into a store and I have a medical condition which makes it unwise for me to wear an N95 mask or even a basic cloth mask, I'm not doing it. And you don't have the right to question my health history. And I'm going to make a stink out of it and turn it into a literal federal case here. Do you think there's any real legal traction there, or is that just kind of hope and pomposity on Facebook?
Sure. So I can tell you, I haven't looked at it specifically from that angle, but I can tell you generally states and governors have pretty broad authority during times of emergency and pandemics to put in place reasonable measures designed to protect the public. And so if, you know, stores are conducting temperature checks, you know, asking certain basic questions about who you've been in contact with, those sorts of things, that probably is not going to run afoul of any federal statutory requirements. And so
what if somebody doesn't want to talk about who they've been in contact with? All right, I'll wear the mask, but I'm not answering your questions.
Sure. Then in terms of whether or not that's a private business they're trying to go into, then at that point, you know, obviously the business would have the right to refuse service to them at that point. And so, again, I think it goes back to the larger point. You know, the governor would really be well served for individuals and for business owners and, frankly, everyone in the community if you clearly lay out exactly what the requirements are, what the enforcement mechanisms will be, and really help provide a clear roadmap of what exactly can be expected in the coming weeks.
I can see this turning into a big mess. And, you know, the last thing we need is more trouble after what we've already been through for the last 2 months. But let's see. Zach Smith from the Heritage Foundation, I appreciate the chance to talk to you. Thank you, Zach.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.